And now, from the dark corners of the internet, where the exploits run wild, packets get sniffed, and the beer flows steady, it's Paul.com Security Weekly! Sponsored by Tenable Network Security. Tenable is a developer of enterprise vulnerability, compliance, and log management software. But most notably, the creators of Nessus, the world's best vulnerability scanner. Tenable Security Center extends the power of Nessus through reporting, remediation workflow, IDS event correlation, and much more. Tenable, unified security monitoring. Core Security Technologies, helping you penetrate your network. Now version 10.5, full of jive. Rock out with your sploit out. Listen to this podcast and qualify to receive a 10% discount on Core Impact, the world's best penetration testing tool. Senzik, create a hailstorm for your web applications. Sign up for a free trial of the Hailstorm software or scan remotely with their new online service to keep your web applications in check. And TrustWave's Spider Labs, providing advanced information security services to planet Earth. Visit them online at trustwave.com/Spider Labs. Now, pull up a packet capture, pour yourself a beer, and give the intern control of your botnet. Here's your host. He's a few no-ops short of an exploit. He socially engineers the elderly, and he's the kill bit at parties, Paul Acidorian.
Hello, and welcome to this edition of Paul.com Security Weekly, episode 211 for September 16th, 2010. I'm your host, Paul Acidorian. My esteemed colleague Larry Pesci is here in the studio in the barn.
Woohoo! Shooting the intern with marshmallows.
Again. This time with compressed air.
Yeah, 60 PSI.
Yeah. I can't wait to see if it leaves a mark.
Ow.
Intern Darren is here.
Ow.
The other guy, operator of the soundboards.
Hello, hello.
Yes. So, where were we? Announcements.
Oh, wait, that's no. Who else is on the call?
Oh, it's Carlos is with us. Sorry, yeah. Carlos. Carlos,
yeah.
You there?
Yeah. I noticed you guys forgot about me.
Sorry.
It's, we didn't mean to forget. It's typical us Americans always forgetting about Puerto Rico, right? Yeah.
Lazy Americans that we are.
Yeah.
So, Carlos, how are you?
Doing fine, my friend.
So, now, you made a recent addition, a commit to Metasploit. Is that correct?
Correct. I added an interpreter script for dumping the memory of a process. In fact, you can either give it a PID, a process identifier, and it will dump the memory of that PID. You can give it the name, and it will dump all the PID, all the processes for that name. It will dump the memory from them, and you can even give it a list of processes to dump.
Nice.
Process to dump their memory? That's cool.
Yep. It will dump the memory into a file that then you can parse and find all of the goody stuff in there.
Now, have you tested that against any kind of antivirus or endpoint protection? Is there any software out there that you know of that's detecting that kind of activity?
Nope. Tested it right now against McAfee and Kaspersky, which is the two I have in my lab.
Yeah.
And those two never detected what I was doing.
Yeah, it's a hard thing to detect, right? Because it's just a process accessing memory.
Correct. In fact, since I'm doing it directly from memory, I'm not writing anything to disk.
Yeah,
they're not seeing nothing strange there. Also, when I'm opening the process, I'm not getting what you call process all access. What I'm doing is process read, so I'm only reading that chunk of memory for which I have permission to read.
Gotcha. Very cool. Well, let's go through some announcements. What do we got? ShoeCon is happening the day after tomorrow. So if you're listening to this live, you should already be attending signed up to attend that. If you're listening to the recording, I hope you attended it. All the proceeds benefit the Matthew Shoemaker Memorial Care Fund. Mm-hmm. Also, we'd like to announce HackerCon. It's going to take place October 23rd through the 24th, Charleston Civic Center alongside CharCon. Tickets are on sale for $40, and all proceeds will benefit Hackers for Charity.
Yep, and CharCon, Darren, GamerCon.
GamerCon.
Oh, games. Games are fun. We should play more games, Paul.
We should. Mark Baggett is teaching Sans 504. I don't think there's anything gaming related happening. And they do play a game at the end. It's a hacker game. It's kind of fun.
Oh, that's cool.
It's cool. It's fun.
Games are fun. Games. You should play more. Oh, wait.
And do you mind if I mention the last one?
Yes. Hack Kid. Larry's Hack Kid. Got marshmallows.
Yep.
You bring in marshmallows, chocolate, and graham crackers.
Yep. We're going to have
sort of, if you can catch the marshmallows.
With your mouth. What? That's just bad. So Boston area Hack Kid, October 9th and 10th. I'm speaking both days on the Maker Track. We're building some electronic fireflies and some marshmallow guns.
Very cool. So we're going to take a little bit of a break. It might be a little longer than usual.
For the live stream listeners.
For live stream listeners.
Listening to the recorded, it will be no longer than normal.
That's right. So we're just going to play some stuff and take a break and come back with our feature interview for this show. And we're back after a little bit of a readjustment of our live video and audio streaming. And we are here with none other than Vinny Liu. Vinny is the managing partner at Stach & Liu, has been a professional penetration tester and manager of penetration testing teams for over a decade. Vinny recently co-authored the second edition of Hacking Exposed Wireless, whose other co-author was on the show playing live music
last week.
Josh, right?
Yeah, and which yeah. By the way, Josh wants to know when the live music that I sang is coming out.
It's very exciting. Darren, when's that coming out? So Vinny is also the upcoming third edition, co-author of the upcoming third edition Hacking Exposed Web Applications. Welcome, Vinny.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate you guys having me on the show.
Yeah, so I'm glad you could make it here. We'd like to start all of our interviews off by asking all of our guests how they got their start in information security.
Good question. I actually got my start in information security. Well, depending on how far back you go, I started out in high school just kind of tinkering around. And afterwards, I was picked up by the National Security Agency out of high school.
With the black helicopters and the black Suburbans, or
they actually bought me a plane ticket and flew me out there.
That's how they do it now. Okay. They're sneaky about it.
Yeah. Right. You've won.
They tricked me into it was a great experience. That's where I cut my teeth, and this was back in '99. But that's when I got started, and everything since then has been great.
Excellent, excellent.
Excellent. And I will say, I really enjoyed Vinny's presentation at
Pentest Summit.
Pentest Summit.
Both of them. Both years in a row.
Yes. Well, yes. And most particularly this last year is because of the Star Wars references.
That's right. It was very heavily Star Wars influenced. Vinny, let's go in the Wayback Machine and talk about the first time I saw you present at the Pentest Summit, where I want to just get right into the graphic that you talk about, where you chart the evolution of a pen tester. I want all of our listeners to hear all about that, because that still holds true in my brain when I'm thinking about pen testing, doing penetration testing. I referenced it in a blog post I wrote for the Tenable blog.
And we talked about it last week, too.
And we talked about it last week. So tell all of our listeners what the graphic that you have and the evolution of how you go through a penetration test.
Right. That graphic. Wow. Okay. So, I actually first created that for a presentation at Blue Hat. And the topic was around, what is it like to do a pen test, to do a source code review? What goes on in the mind? Because I get the question all the time, and that's, hey, what is it like to do a pen test? What is it, how do you feel? Like, what goes on? And I'm like, well, I'll tell you what goes on. I get really excited and then tremendously depressed, basically, for most of the week.
It's an emotional roller coaster, really, huh, Vinny?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, because, it's you versus the developer, you versus the security team. You're essentially, during a penetration test, you're being pitted against the defenders, and you've got to win. So, I mean, there's a lot of pride
involved. They know you're coming.
Most of the time they know that you're coming. Sometimes they don't, depending on the circumstances of the engagement. But you're highly vested in it, because at the end of the day, if you don't break in, you know, people look at you and they're like, oh, so you did break in, right? You know, so there's a lot of ego involved. But essentially what happens is, you know, you start off like any assessment and, you know, you do your scans, you validate the results, you start looking around manually, you find some low-hanging fruit, and, you know, things are going well. You're feeling pretty good about yourself. But then, you know, after about the first day is over, you know, you get into a little bit of a rut. Things get pretty hard. You're not finding anything, and you get to be pretty down on yourself. And at that point, you know, your self-esteem is pretty much at rock bottom because you haven't found anything. And I don't know why it works out this way. I have some theories around it, but it always seems to be that at the very end of the penetration test, you know, you've got 12, 8 hours left, you know, 6 hours left. You really start to find something. It just clicks. It all comes together. And, you know, all of a sudden it's like found a way in, and you're just rushing to get the exploit completed, to get the chain of vulnerabilities strung together just right to compromise the system, and you're always in a rush to get screenshots.
You know, and I think people have this misconception that as penetration testers, we start the penetration test, and it's all like, you know, rainbows and unicorns, and everything goes well, and we're like, ha ha,
sunshine and buttercups, yeah. And doo-doo.
Would you, shiny happy, or what was it? Shiny happy bubble time? Happy kissing bubble time? Dancing naked happy
sexy,
kissing bubble time?
Sexy kissing bubble time.
Yeah, but really, it's quite a frustrating experience, yeah. Right? Like, there's a real low point in the pen test where you're like, I don't know what to go after now. I can't get exploitation on these, you know, vulnerabilities and things like that.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, to do a penetration test means that you're gonna fail most of the time. Mm. A successful penetration test means that you've tested, you know, over and over and over again, and most of the time you're not gonna win. You're gonna lose. You know, right. You're not gonna find a vulnerability, and it's searching for the needle in the haystack. And and these days that's especially the case, especially with network penetration test. It gets, right, you know, much, much harder as the industry and teams have matured.
So I was reading a Dark Reading Room article, and I thought this was kind of an interesting question for you. You know, they talk about how pen testers will typically go after whatever works, right? But sometimes we tend to throw the Hail Mary, you know? Have you had success with throwing a Hail Mary? Now that football season's starting, I thought it was an appropriate reference.
Yeah, you know, I mean, that does work. I mean, most people don't look for the Hail Mary, mm, right? If you're a security team, you've got to focus your time on the things that you think attackers are going, right, to go after.
Default the passwords, web application, low-hanging fruit, that type of stuff.
Yeah, exactly. And so, you know, if you're looking for the same things that the defenders are looking for, then, yeah, chances are you're not going to break in. But, you know, on occasion, if you think the security team has had to sort of optimize what they're doing, and maybe they didn't cover certain areas, then you start looking for those long shots. Mm. And a lot of times, if you look closely enough in enough places, you will find it.
So I think another topic you covered in your first presentation was things that pen testers can do to get better as a penetration tester, right? What are some of the skills, not necessarily technically related as we usually talk about on the show, but what are some of the other skills as pen testers that we need to have in order to be successful?
That's a great question. You know, in my years of pen testing and working with some of the best pen testers out there, and also some of the worst, it became pretty clear to me that some of the things that really separated the good ones from the bad ones was the ability to, and this is a key one. Well, first of all, you know, passion about what they're doing and a continual desire to learn is just a baseline requirement. But one of the things that I really saw, you know, very good penetration testers doing was stepping outside of what's immediately in front of them, right? Looking ahead, kind of like when you're playing a chess game and being able to see three steps ahead, trying to predict what the various paths are, like a tree of, you know, an attack tree of sorts, and figuring out exactly what they need to do, what vulnerabilities they need, what weaknesses they need to find in order to achieve the end goal, right? The compromise, the breach. So being able to visualize attack paths, it is one very, very important characteristic of an exceptional penetration tester. Another characteristic of an exceptional penetration tester is the ability to synthesize disparate information. So being able to chain together vulnerabilities that are seemingly unrelated, and pull that into a string of attacks that will ultimately lead you to a full compromise is another characteristic of an exceptional penetration tester.
So a lot of the questions that we get from our listeners, and you know, several of our listeners are just getting started out in the field, and they're, you know, or someone who maybe works in technology and wants to break into computer security. What kind of advice do you have for them as far as what they should learn and study?
I think that I think, you know, in order to get to the level of being just a proficient or you know, a beginning novice level penetration tester, what you've got to understand are the fundamentals of what you're actually trying to do. So studying technology, studying how it works, understanding the nuances of it are very, very important. That's going to build a foundation for you later on. There is no expert penetration tester. There is no master penetration tester who doesn't have an absolutely fantastic, well-rounded understanding of various security technologies. It just doesn't happen. You have to be very well-versed in those things. So starting now, understanding, you know, programming, I think, is key. It's not absolutely essential, but it definitely, definitely helps. Or at least being able to understand code and how it works, understanding how systems interact with one another is another very important thing, because what we often find is that vulnerabilities, certainly they exist inside, you know, an application or inside a system, but more often than not, a lot of weaknesses are introduced when those applications start talking to other applications or when those systems start talking to other systems. And so it's the interaction, it's the integration of those various technologies that also introduces a considerable number of weaknesses. Mm.
A lot of people tend to focus on tools. How much of a focus should we put on tools and automation and understanding them as opposed to really understanding what the end result of those tools can give you and how to use that information?
So tools are an interesting topic as well, because what you'll find in a lot of sort of novice and beginning to penetration tests and things like that is that there's an over-reliance on them. You know, a lot of very basic penetration tests, well, you know, penetration testers even will just run a tool and they see the tool as the end, right? You run the tool, you validate the results, that's the result of the penetration test. Or maybe you'll run Metasploit as well, and you know, if you think you have a vulnerability. That's very, very basic penetration testing. That's a very basic security assessment. As you get to be more advanced, what you'll find is that the tools are really, you basically start to see tools as exactly that. They're just tools. They're a means to an end, which is to identify security vulnerabilities, and they will make the process of identifying them faster in some cases. That's not always the case. I think there's a place and a time for everything, but when it boils down to it, tools are there to make your job a little bit easier, a little bit faster, and that's what tools are supposed to do. You know, even in the non-security sense of the word, tools make things, you know, simpler and faster.
Yeah, I think it's more about your process. So if you had to get sensitive information from a network in 3 minutes, Larry and I were talking about this before the show, what are some of the things that are working for you on pen tests that lead to getting sensitive information from your target very, very quickly?
That's timely, because we actually recently released some Stack and Lou recently released some research at Black Hat and DEF CON about how to do that very, very quickly. And you can actually visit our website. It's called Search Diggity, and some Google and Bing hacking tools that allow you to collect open source information about any targets in an extremely extremely fast fashion. So that's one way, using open source intelligence to, you know, search engines pull down essentially what's already been indexed. That's one way. The other way is just to browse around on publicly available sites. There's a lot of databases out there that contain that information. So if you have 3 minutes, that's probably the first place I would go, is to go to pre-indexed archives.
What about if you're already on their internal network? I mean, I guess that's a good question we should talk about first. Is that really game over on a pen test once you're on the internal network?
You know, not necessarily, because a lot of times we'll find that, you know, networks are segmented, networks are architected in different ways. And so, you know, if your target that you're supposed to compromise as part of the engagement is, you know, behind some protected network and you're just on the standard corporate network, then you haven't succeeded yet. Mm. You know, internal access is one thing, but, you know, maybe domain admin, then
yeah.
Then you've won, but But internal access, I don't think means that that you've won. And certainly that shouldn't be the case, right? Because, you know, there are a lot of studies out there that say 50% of all the threats are insider, or, you know, whatever your number wants to be. I think the point is that threats come from the inside as well. So you should be just as secure from the internal, I think, as or just as aware of internal threats as you are of, right, of external threats.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that brings up some of the softer skills that we talk about in pen testing. And we had, who's it, Armor Guy, come on the show. And, you know, he was talking about the different ways that he uses pen testing as a consumer of commercial penetration testing. He said, you know, a lot of times we'll bring someone in and we'll say, well, if you can get this far, then that's game over. We don't need you to take the next step to exploit something or take the next step to actually acquire the data. We know that if you get this far, that we've got some work to do because we know what can happen after that. I guess, so what's your feeling on the return on investment from a pen test in that light as to how far along you should let your testers go and what kind of scope you should give them?
You know, I guess it depends on the sensitivity of the assets, and that'll always vary. But I can understand their point of view as well, because we've been in situations like that as well, where, you know, after a certain point, you know, you give people access to sensitive data within your company, and that's a risk that you're accepting that they're going to use it in the right way. Mm. You know, you can't, at a certain point, there are so many technical controls that you can apply, but after that, it is simply a matter of making sure that you trust your people. And so I can understand that there's a delineation between, okay, we only want you to test up until this point, because at this point, it becomes a matter of trust and making sure that our people do the right thing.
Yeah. But as pen and testers, we tend to target the people rather than the systems at a certain level, right? Like when I think of if I've got to get into an organization and I want their data, I want to compromise the user because, like you said, I know they have access to the data.
Yeah, yeah, I think that's definitely part of it. I mean, weak passwords, of course, is targeting, you know, user ignorance, perhaps, or just, you know, them not taking the time to select a strong password, not wanting to, maybe. That's one example of it. Of course, you know, these days, a lot of penetration tests or a lot of breaches occur because of user fallacy, right? Mm. User stupidity. Ignorance, things like that. So certainly that's a very, very viable approach.
I think we as pen testers, we find that users will click on anything we give them. I found that to be the case. Have you found that to be true, too? Yeah. I think it's pretty much clear across the board, right? Is that we're absolutely successful a lot because users will click on stuff.
Yeah, I mean, almost so reliably that we don't even consider it as a challenging part of the assessment.
Yeah,
that's usually the easiest thing to do, is get someone to click on a link. Crafting the exploit or the payload or the you know, the email phishing is harder than it is to just, you know, send it out and get someone to click on it.
It's funny. I was just talking to someone and telling them the same thing. I said, you know, we can be successful on a pen test and the whole attack will take 3 minutes. However, there's about 24-hour period before that with information gathering and carefully crafting things that it takes in order for that to be successful.
And by 24 hours, you mean actual 24 man hours, as opposed
24
to,
man hours,
as opposed to, you know, just working on it for 8 hours and waiting until the next day.
Right.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with that. One of the things that I've realized is that when you're doing a penetration test, you know, 80% of the time, you are information gathering. You are collecting and analyzing information. And it's only the 20% of the time that you're actually performing an exploit or you're actually attempting certain things. It is absolutely a game of information gathering analysis to identify those weak points and prep work.
So the tougher question is, how do we solve that problem from a defensive standpoint? How do we protect the user from these attacks?
I think the stock answer would be to increase their awareness.
Right.
You know, I mean, that's sort of what it boils down to. Once you get past the technical controls, there are things, of course, you can put in from a filtering perspective. You know, not allowing IAMs to have URLs or so they can't click on them. Email filtering, all things of that nature. But there's a combination of, you know, technical controls. There's a combination of people controls, and people controls usually involves, you know, training, making them aware of it, giving them real world examples and saying, look, this is what happened. And, you know, it's happening to us as well. So be careful, because you don't want this, you don't want to be the guy who clicked on the link.
Right, right, right.
Yeah, and maybe the non-standard answer to that question is to smash their fingers with a hammer so they can't click on stuff.
I find positive reinforcement works a lot better.
As opposed to negative reinforcement?
Yeah, the smashing would be the negative.
Oh, so every time you click on... No, every time you...
Don't click on something, you get rewarded, I guess. Then everyone would just be sitting there at their desks all day waiting for rewards.
You get a cookie if you don't click on a link.
Yeah, come to the dark side. We have cookies.
Yeah, but could you smash their fingers in some type of public forum?
Oh my God, it's John Strand. How's it going,
hey,
John?
Hey, everybody. Doing all right. Just finishing up Sans V Live and just happy to at least jump on for a little while, Paul.com.
John, we're talking about pen testing. I was wondering if you wanted to weigh in on any topics related to pen testing.
What is this pen testing you speak of?
Well, you go down to Staples and you buy
awareness aspect.
Yeah,
well, you go down to Staples and you buy a box of Bic pens.
Yeah, exactly.
And some paper.
No, that was last Friday night.
No, so we're talking about the user awareness problem and how easy it is to execute client side exploits and what we do about that.
Well, it's one of the things that Lance Bitster is really pushing hard is the human network initiative or something like that, securing the human. Because we can, as we've said on the show many times, you can secure the technology all the time. But if a user clicks a link that says free porn here, you're going to win every time. Mm-hmm. So I guess what that means is we're going to win every time unless people actually start looking at some type of whitelisting of where people can go on the Internet. And I think whoever was talking just a second ago was bringing that up about, you know, basically trying to restrict URLs that people can go to. But no organization wants to do that.
We have Vinny. Vinny, that's John. John, I'm assuming you guys know each other?
Met in passing a long time ago. So good to meet you again, Vinny.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you can hear each other, the wonders of the soundboard. It's amazing. It's amazing.
Magic.
The intern gets it right every once in a while.
Actually, now that I'm on, everything should go to shit quickly.
So, Vinny, was there anything else pen test related that you wanted to talk about in terms of your pen test summit presentations? I know the one you gave most recently kind of talked about using the Star Wars reference as your evolution from Padawan to Jedi Master.
I'll do a little self-promotion, actually. You mentioned dark reading a little bit earlier. I'm actually just about to release a series of articles based on that presentation that kind of goes through professional penetration testing, talking about, you know, why people want penetration testing, what are some of the results that can come out of it, and then we'll dive into in great detail, even more so than what I was able to present at the SANS Pen Test Summit, you know, the difference between the novice, the advanced, the experts, and the true masters of penetration testing. What are the things that separate those types of people? And hopefully even evaluate, how do you evaluate those folks? I think one of the big questions that came up afterwards was, how do you tell if somebody is a good penetration tester? Because, you know, I laid out characteristics that they should have, but the question was, well, how do I tell if they have those characteristics? How do I tell that I'm getting a good penetration tester? Because what it boils down to is when you engage with a company or a firm that provides penetration testing, you know, the firm, of course, is a part of the story. But at the end of the day, you know, what you want is to know who is doing the penetration test. Do they have the experience? Do they have the skills? Are they going to be able to do a good job? Because it's a person who does the penetration test, not a company.
Hey, Vinny, quick question on those lines. And if you answered this already, just please tell me to shut up. But Gabe, do you ever thought about those being used in reverse? Because one of the things that I'm noticing, talking with a lot of different pen testers, is companies don't want the best pen tester. They want a race to the bottom. They want a person that's just going to fulfill the audit checklist and nothing more.
You know, we actually, and I think Ed Skotis brought this up during our conversation about that, during the presentation, was there are actually a lot of organizations out there who are dragging the name of penetration testing through the mud. I mean, there are those of us who do great, fantastic pieces of work, true penetration testing. And then there are companies who are out there, the bottom feeders, so to speak, who are going to charge absolutely the lowest price possible to do at the absolute minimum amount of passable work to fulfill a compliance requirement, to get a checkbox off. And so I think, you know, actually part of that article series is to describe, you know, what are the reasons behind getting a penetration test and what you should be looking for, why you would even want one in the first place. So, yeah, I mean, I think it's a discussion that actually warrants a much broader audience maybe looping in some of these polls. Because, you know, there are companies like Stack and Lou, like InGuardians, that perform real penetration testing. And then there are companies out there who are just going to, you know, hey, you need that checkbox filled in. We can do it for you cheaper than anybody else. And that's how they sell it.
Yeah, but isn't there also a demand for crappy pen testing, too? I mean, aside from a company trying to be snake oil salesmen, isn't there a demand on the part of companies to say, you know, we really don't want to spend $30,000, $40,000 on a good pen test. We want to spend five to get that checkbox because we know they're going to do a crappy job because it makes us look good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we have certainly seen that in the marketplace. And, you know, fortunately for those organizations who you know, get enough business and work already, you can turn that down because you don't want to, you know, a little bit of professional pride there. You don't want to be the people who perform the really crappy penetration tests.
Well, I think, you know, the evaluation of a penetration test or assessment services needs to be a two-way street. The pen testers need to evaluate the clients, and the clients need to evaluate the pen testers. Right?
I think, Paul, what you're saying is sometimes we need to fire customers, which we have done in the past.
Well, as a pen tester, like Vinny said, you know, you have a reputation to uphold and you have a moral and ethical standard. And if you get the sense that someone has come to you for a pen test and they don't want you to be successful, maybe you should question whether or not you accept that client as an actual client.
One might also argue they just want you to say you were here and check a box.
Right, right.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we need to evaluate the companies like that. And when I say evaluate, John, I don't mean fire the client. I mean work with them to help them understand the value of having a real penetration test.
Right. Education of clients is a really, really valuable and effective way of getting them to understand how important it is and how they're going to benefit from a real penetration test.
Right. So how do you?
How many times I've been in projects where you've seen my team bring up an SOW? We prepare that proposal. We cover all the bases. Ours is like a 40-page thing of what we're going to do, what are going to be rules of engagement that we agreed on, all the meetings, and all of a sudden the client will just go, "Oh, but I'm going, let's say, with X company." And they show you their proposal and you say, but this is only two pages. It says tools to be used, core impact, Nessus, and nothing more. And clients tend to go, oh, but they'll give me a PCI document saying that, for the PCI auditor saying that I got my checkbox.
So wait, I mean, to play devil's advocate, aren't there some companies that maybe could benefit more from a vulnerability, a more traditional vulnerability assessment and not a full-blown pen test than others? No? Silence?
Well, it depends on your goal. Go ahead.
Well,
I think they can, depending on the organization, because the organization is completely starting or there's a change in management, let's say, government agencies. Every 4 years, they change almost completely their IT staff or IT management, depending on what party the new manager is with. And many times when you go into those networks, they're so crappy, they're so broken, that if you do a pen test, you know that in less than an hour, you'll get root on most of the servers. And you go like, well, why don't we do, instead of a pen test, we do a vulnerability scan, we do a configuration audit, we do an architecture audit, we do a process auditing, and we also check your policies and everything and help you kind of build that security foundation that you're going to need before we even try to do a pen test on your network.
Yeah, because sometimes there's clients, some of them know it, some of them don't, but they're not ready for a pen test. Maybe they need a more comprehensive vulnerability assessment first. Then once they've implemented some processes, fixed a bunch of stuff, then they're ready for a pen test. Is there kind of an evolution like that you guys see?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think penetration testing, I think people use that, and this is not the fault of clients or customers or organizations, but I mean, a lot of regulatory requirements call for penetration testing,
yeah.
And people will, you know, look to get that done before they're even ready. But that's what they're being asked
to do. A lot of it boils down to a misunderstanding of the terminology, right?
Yeah, and unfortunately, like PCI calls for penetration testing, and maybe they're not ready yet. FISMA calls for penetration testing.
Right.
Vulnerability it all boils down to what you're trying to get done and the question that you're trying to get answered. Penetration testing fundamentally focuses on breaching the security of the targets. It answers the question of, can this specific sensitive application or sensitive system be broken into? And if you can answer that question in an hour worth, you know, worth of effort, 2 hours worth of effort, and you've got a week to do it, I mean, you should stop after the first hour because at that point you've answered the question. That's what penetration testing should be used for. With a vulnerability assessment, that's the identification of as many issues as possible within a given time frame.
Yep.
So that answers a very, very different question.
Well, and you know, it's interesting. So the client may come to you and say, I want you to see if you can break into the system, and you got a week to do it. And a lot of times, and I think we've done this in the past, we say, yep, we can do that. It took us an hour. So now how do you want us to use the rest of the billable time? Well, let's maybe go back and do a vulnerability assessment and tell you about all of the other problems. So it may evolve as the test goes on. It may take you 4 or 5 days to compromise the target or data that you're after. But there's value both ways. And I think you're right. There's some evaluation of the client needs to make of the pen tester, that you're hiring someone that's able to maybe start a test and then change gears as the test progresses.
And Vinny, I kind of want to poke just to kind of clarify. I don't, and I'm not saying this is what you're saying, but I don't think that penetration testing is about getting access, because I think that that's a given. And that's something that's been bothering me with the whole pen testing field, is it's becoming a field of people that are complete charlatans who don't know what they're doing. And it's also becoming a field of a bunch of wizards who are trying to impress each other. And both of those things fundamentally bother me. And the reason why they bother me is because Carlos has a phrase that he uses all the time, and I think it's so apt, a shell is only the beginning. If we get access to the system, I'm really not interested at all about getting access, because that's inevitable. I mean, it happens constantly on almost every single network. What really interests me is what happens next. If I get access to a system, a standard workstation targeting a user, do you detect me? How long does it take for you to detect me, and what other access can I get from that particular point on? Because I don't believe that pen testing is testing technology, really. I think pen testing is testing the people on the other side. And I think we need to get to that point. And I think this is one of the things you're talking about. Good pen testers will help customers come to those conclusions. It's almost like a come-to-Jesus engagement, much more than it is a technical audit or exercise.
Yeah, maybe we should use that as a tagline. Get pen test, come to Jesus.
I also come to the dark side, we have cookies.
Yes, we covered that already, John. They're selling those t-shirts on ThinkGeek. I think we're going to order them for everyone.
Really?
Yeah, they do. I thought
you're
even
kidding
I saw.
Me.
No, yeah. Yeah, we're going to have to order a bunch.
I'm going to shoot them an email and say, you owe me one free t-shirt.
I'm sorry, Vinny, you were going to say something?
Yeah, no, I mean, I agree with that. I think, I believe penetration at its core is to determine whether the security of a system can be breached. Now, I think what you bring up are very good points. Process, people, technology are all involved in securing a system. So a penetration test does actually test all of those things. Is their response system active? You know, and those are all nuanced variables that can come into play when you're scoping out what you're going to actually be doing. So, you know, gaining access, I agree with you, is just part of the overall story. You know, part of a penetration test might also be, is their response system going to find me? Are there people properly trained in how to respond if they do find me? Things of that nature.
Is the result of some penetration tests more of a cultural awakening for some of the organizations that maybe put too much faith in one or more different defensive measures?
Possibly. I think that's one of the potential outcomes of it. It depends really, again, on what you want penetration testing to do for you. And there's a number of different goals that can be achieved with pen testing. And pen testing is a security assessment that has live exploitation and simulates an attack against your actual systems in a live environment, right?
Because I think a lot of customers, they don't necessarily see that as a benefit, but after the test is completed, they may realize it. And for example, I've been in a lot of situations like that where the organization in talking with them puts a lot of faith in their intrusion detection system, their firewall, their antivirus. And you as a pen tester, you come in and you know, they're not really talking with you about those things. They're not hiring you to say, I want to see if you can bypass my firewall, my intrusion detection system. They're like, I just want to see if you can break into some systems. And lo and behold, once you work with the customer and bring them to the point where you say, look, I got into this system, and they're like, well, we had any virus on that system. How did that work? And then you explain to them how it was bypassed or how it didn't detect your behavior. And they have that awakening. And I think that's one of the things that we need to do as pen testers is help clients have that awakening and stop them from putting that much faith in one particular technology.
Yeah, I think it definitely is a catalyst for more in-depth discussion and maybe almost even an educational process where we fill them in on what security technologies can and can't do.
And in fact, many times what I'm seeing is on large customers are customers that for some reason, I think I'm naive or something, I'm expecting them to have a security team. They have, because I go in there, they have a networking team of 10, 12 people. They have a DBEA team that has like five people, and when I go over there, okay, who's your security people? Oh, we only have one. And I'm going like, well, this person is the only one that manages the firewall, IPSs. He's the one that does incident response. And we're not seeing kind of on some clients just getting there, trying to take security as part of a process seriously.
Good, Carlos, what is awesome is you go into those environments, let's say you get in, right? And you completely take over their entire network. And you're sitting down at the meeting and you're like, well, do you have a security team? And they're like, it's Bill. And he'll be flogged seriously after this meeting. Because, you know, that one guy, clearly he screwed up because you were allowed to get into the environment. I mean, they don't have the resources. They don't have the training. And they have one poor jackass who's getting beat up all the time to do all the security things. And you just basically broke into his environment. And he's the one that's going to get blamed.
Well, what you want to do, John, is you want to put that person on your side because likely that person already knows that they need more resources in terms of people. And if they're smart and if you understand how the dynamic works as a pen tester, you'll bring them on your side and you'll say, look, I'm going to show how there's lots of security holes here and I don't want it to look like your fault. Let's spin this as, hey, look, I broke into your network. I got all this stuff. Let's get Bill more people.
Yeah, in fact, one of the things I did on a recent engagement is I talked, let's say, with Bill. I say, okay, Bill, something I noticed is there's you and Maggie, and both of you do not have training on incident response. You're not getting your stuff. And I even helped Bill find the emails and prepare his case before I presented my report to management, where he got all the emails where he requested training, where he requested several tools, where he requested new personnel to help him. All of that to help him bring up his case, because he's my ally in this.
Yes.
He's my ally inside the customer.
And you don't want to hang that person out to dry. You don't want to hang that person out to dry, because that's counterproductive, I think, for the security of the organization.
And it comes down to working with the customer. It happened to us, let's say, in Shmoocom. We were in the podcasters meetup.
Yes.
And when we started mentioning, oh, you have to have business skills. You have to know how to talk with management. You know how to work with a project manager. You have to have somebody engaging between your team and the client's team. And everybody's was going, no, I just want to hack.
Yeah.
No, I just want to get shell.
Vinny, is that like, I think you touched on some of those topics in some of your presentations, no?
Sorry, clarify for me what
the dynamic of working with the customer, and that's largely, I think you touched on before, what kind of separates a good pen tester from the rest is the ability to work with the client in their environment and help them to understand things.
Yeah, absolutely, because a good penetration test, I mean, a really good penetration test, involves understanding that information gathering, that analysis part, involves understanding what's important to the client.
Yeah.
What do they actually care about? Mm-hmm. And at the end of the day, I mean, a SQL injection vulnerability is a SQL injection vulnerability, but if it's against a public website with a bunch of public information, that doesn't matter, mm-hmm. right? Somebody might care, but nobody really cares. It's like information that we've already given to people. So what you might think is really important from a technical severity perspective has no risk whatsoever to the organization. Whereas, you know, if it's actually very sensitive data, you know, a very sensitive information disclosure problem, then yeah, I mean, knowing about what is important to the organization is a key part of any penetration test. And a very experienced penetration tester knows that, and they can translate their findings into what matters to the business.
Mm. So, Vinny, you've recently co-authored a couple of books. Why don't you tell us about some of the topics you've been writing about?
So the first one, which was released just a month or two ago with Josh Wright and Johnny Cash, was Hacking Exposed Wireless. That I think you guys have covered already, but that's definitely a very, very cool book. It was amazing to work with Johnny and Josh.
Now, Vinny, I'm told that all of the authors of that book are going to play live music or sing some live music on the show, so now's your opportunity.
Yeah, so Josh played guitar last week.
Yes,
yeah,
so...
Wow.
You don't want to go a little a cappella for us, you know? No.
I'm just getting over a cold, actually, yeah. So might not come out. But maybe in a follow up, I'll send you guys a clip.
I think Josh said you had a Hacking Exposed Wireless rap prepared for us.
Yeah. Really? Is that what he said?
Yeah. Wow. He said it was going to win Hack is Whack contest.
Yes. Yeah. The Hack is Whack contest.
Nice. Yeah. Me and Snoop Dogg have been working on it for quite some time.
Nice.
Releasing our single soon.
So what's the other? It's another Hacking Exposed web applications. Was that the one that you worked on?
Yes.
As well?
Yeah, absolutely. Actually, we're pretty excited about this one. We've done a considerable rewrite of Hacking Exposed from the second edition. So the third edition should include a lot more updated content, new content, new chapters. There's a whole section on client-side security that was written by one of our guys on the Stack and Loot team, Rob Reagan. So yeah, we're very excited about that as well. I think that comes out in November, assuming we get all of our proofing done on time.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Well, Vinny, thank you very much for appearing on the show. It was great to hash out all the pen testing topics. I think it's always fodder for interesting debate.
Absolutely. Yeah. Thanks for having me. I appreciate the opportunity and look forward to seeing you guys at the next conference and in the industry out and about.
Absolutely. Thanks, Vinny.
Thanks, Vinny.
Thanks, guys.